Hey, Lars, it's All Songs Considered. Me, right here. I'm Bob Boylan. How are you?
Good.
Good. We're in the studio together, which I love. And actually, I really love sharing music with you because, you turn me on to stuff I'd never know. And then you lead me down a path, which on this show, when we do this show together, and we're trying to do it toward the top of each month, I'm trying to pick stuff I might not ordinarily play on the show. So thank you.
It's an ode to Viking's Choice.
Indeed. Which can get very weird. But you're going to start off with something for us that, well, it didn't feel so odd and peculiar.
But then it gets a little odd and peculiar.
Yeah, I hear that. Yeah. What do we got?
Jeremy Kieran Fernandez is the son of John Fernandez from the Olivia Tremor Control and Circulatory System. And
Athens bands.
Athens, Georgia band from the 90s and 2000s. And I'm sure Jeremy will love to hear me say this, but I knew him when he was a little ankle biter. when John Fernandez worked at Walkstreet Records in downtown Athens, where I would go to frequently when I was in college, sometimes little Jeremy and his sister would show up at the store.
What a world. Yeah.
And they're just the most adorable little kids. And now Jeremy is a musician and a visual artist in his own right. And he has a solo album, and it's so great. This is the song Sea and Rain from the album Inside the Harmonic Prism.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, that could have just been, you know, that guitar lick, which is super, super catchy.
Yeah, yeah.
Could have just been the main thing that happened the whole time. But all these different elements of the, started coming in, and all the little textures, and I don't know if it was a slide or something that was that high, beautiful high, whiny pitch that came in, and then it took us somewhere
open,
else.
Yeah, it just flowers open. Yeah. Jeremy Kieran Fernandez, like I said, son of John Fernandez, who was one of the many co-founders of the Elephant Six Collective, based out of Athens, Georgia, and also Denver, Colorado, and also Louisiana. And, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, the son or daughter of like a beloved musician makes music now. And it's always kind of like, I don't know, but I don't know what's going to happen there. But it's been interesting to, I feel like I've been watching John Fernandez has been posting about his son on like Instagram and Facebook for, you know,
as dads do.
Like, I'm a dad. I'm going to do that to my daughter too. And it's been fun to like just watch, like, and Jeremy's not on any social media, so I'm basically just getting it through his dad's lens. But it's been, he's like already an accomplished visual artist. He draws.
I've seen some of these drawings. They're wild.
They're really psychedelic and weird and grubby. But I would always see pictures of like him playing an acoustic guitar, and or like there'd be little snippets of like him playing kind of like finger style, kind of John Fahey kind of stuff. And I'm like, who is this kid? And so I kept. And he is in a band in Athens called Immaterial Possession. That's pretty cool. They're like kind of a gothy, psychedelic rock band. They're pretty cool. But the thing I wanted to hear most was like, I wanted to hear his music. And so this record, Inside the Harmonic Prism, it has songs like the one you just heard, but also has nice drony, blissful tracks. And he plays clarinet on the record. He plays drums. He plays bass. He plays guitar, as you heard, like a very nimble guitar player. Yeah. And all the guests on the record are, it's basically his peer group. So it's people his age playing on the record instead of like him recruiting in. He could have recruited like, you know, all of Elephant Six to play in this record. And as far as I can tell, the only person who is on it, Derek Olmsted, he mastered the record and he played with Up Montreal and a bunch of other bands in Circuit Toy System. But it's basically his friends, and they're just making like really cool psychedelic folk rock music. Kind of reminds me a lot of like Steve Gunn, especially the song we just played. But it's exciting for me, who came of age in the Athens music scene, was highly inspired by the psychedelic music that came from it and punk and everything else. And then seeing like, here's the next generation. I'm excited to see what they do with it.
It's fabulous. I want to take you to, wow. It's pure fire, I don't even know how to describe it other than there's a, you may sense a bit of Molly influence here. I just want to get right to the song. It's a minute and 43 seconds of fire. It's by a group called Orchestra Gold, and the song is called Segu Heat.
Awesome, let's hear it. We'll be right back. yo, that was sick.
I kind of thought you'd like that.
Yeah. It was kind of like James Brown goes and rips it up with some Molly and Rockers.
and it does sound Molly and the singer is Miriam Chiquite, and she's from Molly. The rest of the band is Oakland-based.
Okay.
And she's singing in the Bambara language. The guitarist is Eric Hoffaker. He's from Oakland. That rhythm section, though, and the horns. It's so... I want to see this band live so bad. They were supposed to play at South by. I didn't go, so I don't know how that went. But, boy, yeah, that would have certainly been a highlight.
I want to know more about them. That would also... I also want to see them live. It sounds like that would be an absolute blast.
They come here... And I mean, we're at NPR, you know,
right?
Like here.
Yeah.
I'll see you there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. The album's called Medicine. Orchestra Gold is the group. And I lit a fire. Where are we going?
I think we're going to keep the fire going a little bit. As I often do, I was spending a lot of time on Bandcamp, scrolling through my feed, looking for stuff that maybe other people haven't heard and that I have not heard. As I often say on this show, you can follow other fans, you can follow labels, but you can also follow tags. So a tag could be like, I want to know about all the latest crustpunk releases. I want to know about all the stuff that is coming from Canada or whatever.
Yeah.
So I followed Philippines somewhat recently just because I wanted to see what was happening coming out of Philippines. And I came across this band called Pry, P-R-Y. They literally just put out their new album. It's called The Party's Over. And it is that perfect nexus of Discord-style punk, so like Fugazi, mm-hmm, mixed with like a little bit of guitar effects, like Worship, like pedal Worship. So like really great singer at the front, mm-hmm, really great energy, but then there are a couple dudes on their side looking at their effects board, tapping around, making lots of cool sounds. But the thing, and that can be very cool, don't get me wrong, but sometimes they can get like a little... showboaty and uninteresting, but there's just like a good natural energy and melody to these songs. So I wanted to play a song called Chasing Ambulance.
Here comes Pry.
We'll be right back.
Okay, this is silly, but...
Okay, go ahead.
It's kind of like eating chocolate.
Okay, go on.
There's something that happens when I hear distortion. The way chocolate satisfies my taste buds, that distortion and those dripping harmonics that happen there in the end, is it does the same thing for me. It just, I can't help but like
a big
the
dopamine smile. Hit. Yeah.
The smile comes on my face and I go off in another world and I have to be careful when I'm driving.
The front half of that song is very much Pretty Girls Make Graves, kind of like early, kind of sprawly, like hit for the fences, kind of like punk rock with a lot of like emotion attached to it. And then like in the middle of that song, it takes like a nice little turn where it just kind of like opens up into this nice little anthemic moment where the singer is allowed to kind of like puncture those big open chords and whatever cool stuff they're doing on their effects pedals. I really like this album. I'm really glad I stumbled across it.
So the group is probably there from where?
They're from Manila, Philippines.
Awesome. We're going to take a break. Okay. Something completely different coming back from the break. I know you are a lover of Shirley Collins.
Oh, yeah. And, absolutely.
And so there's new music from Shirley Collins. So you're listening to All Songs Considered from NPR Music.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Dignity Memorial. When you plan your celebration of life in advance, it becomes a gift from you to your family, because nobody should have to plan for a loss while they're experiencing one. With Dignity Memorial providers, you can pre-plan every detail to give your family and yourself valuable peace of mind, knowing that everything will be taken care of with professionalism, compassion, and attention to detail that is second to none. For additional information, visit dignitymemorial.com.
It's All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan here with Lars Gotrich. And Lars, I'm older than you and lived through, as you know, as everyone knows. And I got to live through this wonderful era in the 60s, late 60s, and certainly in the 70s of the English folk music. Mm-hmm. It was such a beautiful thing. Groups like, well, for me, Still I Span, the Albion Band, Fairport Convention, and all of them were influenced by this amazing singer, Shirley Collins. She is now 88 years old.
I know.
We did a Tiny Desk home concert with her, which is just absolutely charming.
It's great. You also have a great interview with Shirley Collins with Colin Molloy that I loved listening to. It's worth finding.
Right. Thanks for reminding me about that. Shirley Collins has a new record. It's about sort of the magic and trickery of tornadoes.
Okay.
And I can tell you more about how that came to be. But I want to play this song called High and Away.
High, oh, high and away. Tell me the tricks a tornado can play. High, oh, high and away. Tell me the tricks a tornado can play. Pick up my house and hurl it a distance, dump it back down and me on the floor. Hard as it hurt, it was nothing to losing my man to a twister, oh, 10 years before. High, oh, high and away, tell me the tricks a tornado can play. High, oh, high and away, tell me the tricks a tornado can play. Pulled up another clean out of its footings, dropped it and smashed it to match what I swear. But in the hen house it whirled up to the treetop, the hen was still sitting, not an egg broken there. High, oh, high and away, tell me the tricks a tornado can play. High, oh, high and away, tell me the tricks a tornado can play. In the path of a twister, there's nothing will stand. bowl a cart down the street like an empty tin can. Post Office Mountain View, Arkansas, carried away by a twister, oh Lord. The letters returned to us down from Wisconsin showed just how far the mail fluttered abroad. Hi-yo, hi and away, tell me the tricks a tornado can play. Hi-yo, away, tell me the tricks a tornado can play. I once had a box and a little book in it with all of the words to the songs that I knew. Then one day it was lost and I hadn't the heart. Now I hadn't the heart for to write them again.
The lyrics of that song were written by a collaborator, Pip Barnes, but the words were inspired by a book, well, words he found in a book that Shirley Collins had written called America Over the Water. Shirley Collins did an interview with an Arkansas singer, Almeda Riddle, who told Shirley about the tricks a tornado can play and gave a bunch of examples. And Pip Barnes took those words, worked with Shirley, and I love it. I love Shirley Collins, the eminent English folk singer talking about Wisconsin.
Well, that was going to be my question for you, because I know she sings a lot of, she digs up a lot of like traditional folk songs and she brings her own spirit to it. And so I was curious about that. So now that you say that, and I think about the last few lines of that song are now rattling around in my head a bit, where she's talking about having a box full of her songs, and then they went away, and so, but she just lets them go, and is at peace with it, and it's, you know, it's just that nothing is permanent, right? So yeah. It's interesting to think about somebody like Shirley Collins, who has spent a literal lifetime preserving songs and being at peace with letting them go when the occasion calls it to be.
That's beautiful. I hadn't thought of that. That interview that she did with Almeda took place back in 1959. I just love the way this story gets yanked out and retold, and that's the permanence of folk music, right?
I mean, right.
You don't know when your child grows up and they're listening to folk music 40 years from now how any of this can wind up being part of the dialogue. It's sort of the beauty of folk music. Shirley Collins, by the way, has an album coming full of folk songs, and it's called Archangel Hill, so look forward to that. Where are we going, Lars?
Emmahoy Tisige Mariam Gebru was a 99-year-old nun and pianist and composer who just died recently. She was sort of rediscovered in around 2006. There was this great series of albums called Ethiopiques that came out.
I remember those. Yeah.
So like Mulutu Lestatki.
Sure.
That's how people kind of learned to fall in love with music from Ethiopia that a lot of people hadn't heard. And one of those was by Emmahoy Tisige Mariam Gebru. It was just solo piano recordings. And it stood out from other albums in this series, because everything was like very high energy, kind of like Ethiopian versions of funk and jazz. Mm-hmm. And here's this nun who's led an unbelievable life. She was born to upper class parents in 1923.
In Ethiopia.
She was trained in traditional songs. She's learned violin and piano. She was this society girl that was fluent in several languages. She was the Royal Academy of Music in London wanted her to come. And just before she was basically going to move her life, she became a nun. She decided to dedicate her life to the Lord, and which apparently like shocked everybody. But all the while, she's writing these compositions and playing the piano. And in the 60s and 70s, that's when she wrote a lot of her songs and recorded them. And then they were just kind of forgotten. They were very small press. So like very few like original copies exist in the world. Since 2006, some more of those recordings have been coming out. There's a new one coming out April 14th via Mississippi Records called Jerusalem. And this is the title track.
Jerusalem. Thank you.
Wow, thanks for that.
You know, it's been a rough few weeks for folks at NPR. You can look it up. I needed that piece of music these past few weeks. The thing that makes her work so distinct is that it's like she's a cross between Scott Joplin, so like honky tonk, the highbrow, lowbrow of Scott Joplin, but also Eric Satie.
Yeah, I was going to say there's the minimalism.
But then if you listen to the piece, it starts in one mode. It starts like quiet but crisp. But then like halfway through, there's this sort of lift that happens. There's a bit of a brightness. The way that she played the piano is just so unique to Amohoye Tsige Mariam Gabu, because, you know, where a lot of pianists would lean heavy on the sustain, or they would kind of like bend the notes in a certain way to give a certain feel, she was very precise in how she would play the piano. But because she was learning from classical music and jazz, but she was also learning from Ethiopian melodies and modes and rhythms, so there's a hypnosis that happens within those short little runs, because you hear that melody just keeps returning throughout the song.
But there did seem to be an improvisation to it as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Her music is just like so important. And what an amazing life that she had, like she was 99. She just died recently. For so late in life for her to be rediscovered has been a blessing. And the amazing thing is there's an institute in her name that provides musical and arts learning to like students in Jerusalem, where she had been a nun since 1984. So what an incredible person, an incredible life, what amazing music. And apparently there's even more unearthed music coming later this year.
This album comes out, it's called Jerusalem,
just a few weeks in April, yeah.
Awesome. You talked about hypnotic and zoning music, and this music I'm going to play is sort of the opposite end of the sonic spectrum to what we just heard, but does often the same sorts of things that music did in terms of taking me away and calming me down. Mm-hmm. I'm going to play music by a group called Zoon, Z-O-O-N.
So this is not the failed MP3 music player.
Not Zune, no, right. It's the project of songwriter Daniel Monkman, with string arrangements on this record from Owen Pallett. And the atmosphere kind of felt to me like a My Bloody Valentine vibe on this. I think that would be a compliment to Daniel, though you never know how people would take that. And it's one of those things where I talking about it, losing a sense of time whenever this song comes on, that atmosphere, if I can be in a place where I can lose my sense of time, I truly love to. The song I want to play is called Gaga G. It's spelled G-A-A-G-I-G-E. The full album is called Beka Moin Gan. I'm going to let Daniel Monkman tell us what the song means to him, because it's very personal, and take us out on that. So we can turn off the mics and get lost in time.
That sounds good, Bob.
Thanks for doing this. Always fun.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Cheers.
Ga Gi Ji is an Ojibwe word used to describe kind of infinity or forever, eternal. And I wrote it when in the beginning of the pandemic in 2020, when my father had recently passed away, and shortly after, my close friend Travis Schmidt. And I kept thinking about the sadness of them leaving and, you know, never being able to talk to them on the phone again or send them a text message. And I just realized later on in life that after a few years of being able to grieve, that my dad at least would always be with me, because I am part of him and he's part of me. We share the same blood and the same DNA, and it's running through me. And that made me feel closer. And I felt the same way about my friend Travis, that he is in my subconscious and will exist there till the end of time, at least my time. So I wrote the song to honor them and to keep those memories alive.
Yeah. key.